Just think about where we are today at New Berean Baptist Church. It was almost a year ago or so that we had to end our services. And it was weird staying home. I'm not used to staying home. I'm used to coming to the house of the Lord. And think back where we were then. Then our pastor became a victim of COVID-19 and left us and passed away, and God took him and promoted him home. And our hearts were heavy. But as I look today, I see people doing things they didn't do last year. I see ushers that sometimes have been ushering every Sunday. They're not complaining. I see choir members can't get a break. You know, that's all right. They're not complaining. Thank the Lord. We're in a good place. And I just appreciate everyone who's been coming out and worshiping with us, and even in the parking lot. We're in a good place. We are going to have a pastor. The pulpit committee is busy doing that, selecting people for us to listen to and vote on. So we're in a good place. God indeed has shown us that he is able. Our message today is the anatomy of a godly Christian. The anatomy of a godly Christian. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you. We love you for this opportunity to come once again to worship with you. We know that you are able. We ask that as you are able, that you would hide this preacher behind the cross and let this message of the anatomy of a godly Christian go forth, and that the words of my mouth that come out and are heard and attended to by the saints in this church, those in the parking lot, that they would indeed take them and use these words in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're coming from the Proverbs today, Proverbs chapter 4. Now, Proverbs deal with wisdom. Wisdom is the use of knowledge in a practical and successful way. There's some 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs according to 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 that King Solomon wrote. This is one of those psalms. And at the beginning of the fourth psalm that we're looking at, he talks about his sons. He's given some information to his sons. Now, for a guy who had 700 concubines and 300 wives, I don't know how many sons he was talking to, but I hope he gave them some good information like he's given us here in the Proverbs, because we certainly need to have the wisdom to have a practical and successful life. The anatomy of a godly Christian. I would like to look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, and then the text will come from verses 20 through 27. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. And as you go through the first portion of that proverb, he talks about his dad giving him instructions. And his father was David. David had a lot of things happen in his life. He had a lot to share with Solomon. Towards the end of his life, he didn't pay attention to what his father said, but for the most part, he did a good job. And so he's also sharing those things that he learned from his father to his sons. Let's look at verses 20 through 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, he wants him to put the cell phone down, quit texting. I need you to listen. I'm giving you something for your life. And if you don't get it, you could die. This is life-saving stuff, son. Pay attention. I'm serious. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Talking about his instructions. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's read that one again. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Now, this is something that is intentional. You don't wait for the Lord to put it away for you. You have to do that yourself. And put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. The anatomy of a godly Christian. There are some 11 times that body parts are described in this section between 20 and 27. It's 11 times. Now, let's see if you can figure out all 11 of them, all right? One of them is tricky, but it's 11 of them. So when we get them and you check them out, okay? All right. Proverbs 4 reveals the story of a father who implores his son to seek wisdom with everything he has. And as the father is teaching his son how to use wisdom to respond to life's challenges, he decides to use the imagery of anatomy, parts of the body, as a means of encouraging wisdom to bring about godliness. So he's not using the PowerPoint. They didn't have PowerPoint back in those days. So he's using body parts to describe how wisdom can be used to help us have a wonderful and blessed time in our lives. Let's look at the first point. It says that his mind attends. So imagine that Solomon, who's king, can grab anybody because he's the king, and says, I want to show you something, son, about a godly man. So he grabs the guy and says, check this out. Let's look at his mind. And so Solomon has all his scientists and his doctors, and they got the guy, and they're going to look at this guy's mind, and they find out that his mind attends. His mind attends. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. He has said this several times. The theme of Proverbs 4 is to acquire wisdom. He's trying to give this information to his son. He says, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And all the children that lived in my house know what it means when I want to talk to them about something, because it's in my car. They can't get out. I want them to pay attention to my words. They got no place to go. If I have to do that, sometimes I do. In this case, he's able to tell his son, pay attention, listen, incline your ears to my words. The father exhorts his son to pay attention, to be responsive to his words, and to incline his ear to his expressions. In other words, choosing to listen and choosing to follow the teaching that his father is imparting to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Look what this says as they examine this man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But what happens to us Christians? It says that we what? We have the mind of Christ. Oh, in the anatomy of a godly Christian, if we were to examine a godly man, he would have the mind of Christ. Romans says in verse 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how is that done? Through the word of God. He's saying, son, pay attention. And now he says, incline your ears. He says, the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 through 16 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But we read in Philippians 2 and 5, but let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We want to have a mind like Christ. We know that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, that he has given us a sound mind. The anatomy of a godly Christian is someone who has a sound mind. He's able to discern because he gets it from the Spirit of God. He is attentive to the word of God with the intent to accomplish and to do what is said and to live by the commands and the precepts of God. Which brings us to our second point. If he is the father's giving instructions, how is the son receiving it? He's not getting it in a text message. He's getting it through his ear gate. Our second point is his ear inclines. His ear inclines. Let's look at Proverbs 4 and verse 21. It says, do not let them, what's the them? The words that the father is giving his son. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Does that remind you of Psalms 119? How we hide God's word in our heart? It says, incline your ear. Is that part of the body? Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Verse 21. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The father exhorts his son to pay attention, to be responsive to his words, to incline his ear, choosing to listen and follow the teaching. At all times, the son should have his father's words before him. Back in the day, you knew the words was, you better be home by such and such a time. Don't let the sun go down. You playing basketball, ding! You run home at the last second, but you run home because you remember what was said. The words are before him. He's saying, don't let them escape from your eyes. This would motivate him to conduct himself or herself properly, because the words are always before the eyes and having been heard as the ear inclines. The son was to keep them in the midst of his heart. Psalms 119, that I might not sin against God. He was to have this as a secure treasure in his mind and his inner self. The godly walk is essential for the Christian. Paying heed to spiritual counsel from family members who know the Lord, from Christian friends, Christian co-workers, listening to the Word of God. All these things help us to have a godly walk. We have to keep it before our eyes and our ears. We need to know God's word and have a desire to live by his word. Verse 22 says that, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. How many of you know that when people neglect to do the things that are written in God's word, that sometimes the stress of life will affect their bodies? Stress will do bad things to you. It mess up your heart, mess up your mind. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Health can be such an important thing to people, but when they neglect to have a life that is based on God's word, living for the Lord, they might find themselves in a place where they may have some drug problems or problems with alcohol or immorality. They may find themselves in a place that they just can't get out of. They might find them in a place like that young man did, the prodigal son, in Luke 15. Found himself in a place he has no business being. No money, no anything, no friends. Only he could come back to was remember that his father, he had stuff at his house. He had food at his house. I got to go back to my dad. Sometimes health depends on doing what God has said in his word. And when we neglect the word of God and neglect to do what he has said, we can have some health issues. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. In some cases, it's life and death when people do not go and have a relationship with God. Obedience brings life and health. Health to all our body reflects the dual aspect of the moral life used in the sense of spiritual health. Knowing God can help bring a vigor to your life. And those words, the words of God, can bring healing to a life. You ever had a Christian tell you something good from the Lord and it just pep you up? And I got a text a little while ago with some good news, and I was texting back and saying, thank you, and I appreciate you. We want to direct ourselves away from harmful activities, things that will ruin the quality of our lives. Which brings us to our third point, as they examine this man that they grabbed off the corner, who was a godly man. We find that the third point is that his heart keeps. That's from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. In other versions, it says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let's look at verse 23. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence. That means no slack dogs. For out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And in the Old Testament, when you see the word hard, it was referring to the inner man, the person that you are. It's where the seat of the emotions lie. It is what you are. It is you. We know that the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as he thinketh, so is he. His heart keeps. The heart refers to these things, the core of a man. So we want to keep our heart with all diligence. We must be careful to cultivate or guard our hearts. Do it diligently and promptly, and remove those attitudes that are not right. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18 says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out of the heart. That's from Jesus himself. And old Jeremiah 17, he broke some bad news to us, because he said that the heart is deceitful. And not only thing, he said, above all things. And worse than that, he said, and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. That's trouble. That's why we have to guard our hearts. We know that we were given a new heart, a heart of flesh. The Father tells his Son above everything else, above your cell phone. I found out how precious cell phones are to people. There was a woman at the elevators I'm getting ready to go up, and she was freaking out because she couldn't find her cell phone. That day I happened to leave my cell phone in my car. I was happy. I didn't get any bad news. I have my cell phone such that I don't get any news reports when I go to the website or anything else. I don't want to see that. I don't have to worry about that today. It was a nice day. I was happy. He says, above everything, I want you to be grabbing it. Above everything, you need to guard your heart. Safeguard your heart. Why? Because from it flows the issues of life. When I was injured back in 2017, in my head and hit the tub, and my back, lower back hit the tub, and I fractured some ribs. As I went to the doctor to get permission to go back to work, my posterior was rather numb. I mean, if someone gave me a spanking, I wouldn't have felt it. All right. And I'm too old to get a spanking, so. You be thinking anything there. Why? Because that's where the blood flows to your lower extremities. And because I wasn't getting the right kind of flow because of the injury, my body, lower body, was somewhat numb. So the blood from the heart is important for the body to function. That's why you have to take care of your heart. When we as Christians recognize that we have to guard our hearts, it's serious business. From the heart or the mind or the innermost self, it needs to be guided by wisdom. Because from the heart originate the promptings of what we're going to do and think every day. because that's the seat of our emotions. So to have an upright conduct, I need to have a heart that's guarded from things such as temptation that would lead me astray, cause me to go to my left, or to my right. Sorry about that. The heart needs to be guarded from yielding to these temptations that could hinder it from providing the sources of our very lives. One who fails to resist temptation can find themselves in a bad way. Then they grab the guy and say, "Son, I want you to look at his mouth. I want you to look at his mouth." He's trying to describe how wisdom can help by using the parts of the anatomy. So we're now at the mouth, which is our fourth point. His mouth is controlled. His mouth is controlled. A godly man, in the anatomy of a godly man, we see his mouth, and his mouth is controlled. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24 says, "Put away from you." Does "put away from you" mean that it's something that we have a responsibility to do? So it's not something that we just wait for the Lord to make me do. Huh? Isn't it something we have to consciously do? And for a person who has a mouth like me, I have to do it all the time. I have to apologize all the time. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." His mouth is control. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. So we have mouth and we have lips, two other body parts. It says, "Guard and restrain our lips, being true and honest in our conversations. Put away any hint of deceit and have truth." The father's admonition to the son was for him to remove crookedness from his mouth and to put far away from himself perverse lips. That means unrighteousness or unjust lips. His mouth and his lips were not to be used to express deception and lies. You want to look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15? Just because someone goes to church doesn't mean that the good things come out the mouth sometimes. Look at what Galatians chapter 5 verse, "But if you bite, son, when you examine his mouth, you got to watch it. You got teeth. But if you bite and devour one another," talking about Christians, "if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." I thought you had 300 members. I don't see 150. Well, some of them got bitten and consumed. And I'm not trying to be funny with that, because there are times when words can do a terrible thing. I got my first job at one church that I served as a Sunday school teacher on the day that I joined the church. And evidently, the teens teacher had a son who smoked. Okay? He smoked, and the pastor, he's a grown man, you know, 18. And the pastor got on the teens teacher that she's not a good example. She's not a good example because her son smoked. And what she heard was being bitten. So she left. She left the church. Now, you can have your opinion about what right or not right or whatever about that. But that type of conversation, okay, when we bite and devour one another, it can do terrible things to people's psyche. Some people will just walk away from church. That's not right. We're not to be bitter, but that's what happens. So that's why we have to be careful with our words. A soft word, what? And grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 21 and verse 23, listen very carefully here. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, all these verses that we looked at put the onus on doing that on the individual. Amen? That's what we have to do. That's what I have to do. I have to do that daily, by the way. Human speech, folks, reveals the true person. I'm so glad that sanctification is a daily thing, because I'd be in bad shape. Which brings us to our point number 5. Now, how many things, body parts, have you looked at so far? You didn't forget the flesh, did you? That's a tricky one. Point number 5. As the grabbed the man and started looking at his eyeballs. He says, and it's a good thing it was a guy because the eyelash might have fallen off on a young lady. So, point number 5, his eyes focus. His eyes focus. Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and let your eyelids look right before you. Let your eyes gaze straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. You ever seen someone who's not paying attention when they're driving? Sometimes they scare me. One guy was trying to get onto traffic during a snowstorm on I-664. And I was already in the oncoming lane. In other words, I'm trying to get into traffic. It's slow. It's crawling. He decides to not pay attention to everything else around him. And he goes on the outside. So instead of the two cars in the lane and then the oncoming lane, he goes outside of that trying to get in. And his car T-bones, it swerves and it T-bones a guy in a very tall African-American male in a very nice suit in a Lexus. He was not happy. You got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. Keep your eyes focused straight ahead. Says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Eyes are to be guarded, and looking straight ahead. Singularly focused, distracted eyes lead to distracted minds, which lead to distracted feet. Oh, Eve. I hate to pick on Eve. I'm sure she was a beautiful woman. But man, she saw that fruit. After a discussion with Satan, what did she do? She looked at it and saw that it was good. And then she decided she was going to touch it. Got her in trouble. Adam, he joined in too. It was his fault. God put the blame on him. She got her justice, but it was Adam's fault. He wasn't supposed to let that happen. He was the man of the garden. I'm not sure if they had a house. What about Achan? Remember old Achan from Joshua 7? How he pillaged some gold and some silver and a beautiful Babylonian garment when they went to take on the folks. And Joshua said, all silver, gold, and vessels of brass, they are consecrated unto the Lord, and they belong in the treasury of the Lord. But he took some and he put it in his tent and hid it. As a result, that was part of the reason why they lost. They lost the Ai. And God was upset because of what he had done. You see, he saw something that wasn't his to have. Got to be careful. Don't let our eyes stray. And old David, don't pick on David either, but he did it. When he was supposed to be out with the kings fighting, right? And he was got up, turned off ESPN, went on the roof, and saw a woman taking a bath, and that got him in trouble. He looked. Instead of turning his head, he looked, and that look turned into a desire, and that desire turned into sin. They all fell because of what they saw. Our eyes need to stay focused. His son needs to hear this lesson he's telling. Let them not depart from thine eyes. The words that I'm speaking to you, don't let them depart from your eyes. Pay attention. Look at the words that I'm saying to you. His son's eyes need to be fixated straight ahead to attain the noble objectives of life. He should not be casting glances everywhere, for this could lead to his being tempted to stray from what is morally right. The son's eyelids should incline to be drawn towards righteous or just things. Now, we can't say the devil made me do it. God has given us an ability to not have to depart and do the wrong thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. It says, and God is faithful, for he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, along with the temptation, provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We don't have an excuse. God's given us the ability through his Spirit. He said it in his word. It must be true because he said it. His eyes need to stay focused on his Father's words. And for us, the word of God, which brings us to our last point. So they grabbed the man and they grabbed his feet and pulled him up. Said, look, son, his feet travel. His feet travel. That's what they do. Let's look at verse 26 and 27. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. And because I've never really recovered from my injury, I have to be careful of my walk now. You know, you might see me rocking a whole lot, that's because I don't want to fall down. So I have to watch where I step, I have to watch the curbs, because I'm liable to fall if I don't pay attention to ponder my steps. I have to make sure I don't step on any cracks on the sidewalk or trip and fall. It's painful to fall. I've had to do that a couple of times and I don't like it. We are to ponder the path of our feet, avoiding certain things. We are to keep straight paths. Look at verse 27. It says, do not turn to the right or the left. Then it says, remove your feet from evil. You ever been outside and you stepped in something? Don't you get mad? Don't you want to get rid of it? Hey, these are new shoes. Well, that's how we ought to be when we get around evil. We don't want to stay and stomp all in it. Isn't that right? Don't we want to avoid all that? Don't we want to watch where we step? Don't we want to watch where our feet travel? Don't we want to ponder? The father's admonition directed his son to make the path of his foot level. Now, if you go into the original meaning of what that has to do, is you have a path, you want to get rid of all the obstacles. You want to get rid of all the obstacles out of the way. In case someone has some issues with their walking, they have a cane or so forth, you want to make sure you don't have something that's going to cause a person to stumble. So you establish it and make it secure. You want your walkway to be arranged so that it's secure. If you have a wall or a walkway, you want to make sure it's such that if you travel along that path, you're not going to stumble. We have to keep these paths straight. Not to swerve to the left or to the right. Not to veer away from the truths that are found in God's word. All the ways, all the courses, all the things that we deal with in life will be established or secure when we do that. We're walking on level and solid ground. The Septuagint, the way it reads, is to straighten his ways, just as we discussed about the walkway. Get rid of all the obstacles. Watch where you're going. The son was not to deviate from the right course of life, inclining, intentionally choosing not to swerve to the left. He was to turn his foot away from